Another busy morning.
Brad, she's in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. She is House Minority Leader Themis Claridis and Representative. Good morning and happy Thanksgiving from Brad and Dan.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving to you all also.
Thank you. Now, Representative, the governor, as you know, pulled a Friday sneak attack, the Friday
a fast
dump.
One.
On last Friday when he, of course, ordered these $91 million in cuts to municipalities. And as I understand it, that was not the intention of the legislature when they submitted this budget to the governor. Could you elaborate on that?
Sure. As you all know, we passed the second bipartisan budget a few weeks back. And in that budget, one of the sections allowed the governor actually directed the governor to make certain cuts. But in that section, we also gave a very specific list to the Office of Fiscal Analysis, which is the budget office, the nonpartisan budget office, to the governor's budget office, and said, when you go to make these cuts, go to this list. And the list looked something like this. Anticipated savings due to teachers' retirement evaluation. So there's going to be a new valuation of teachers' retirement, and we believe we can find savings from that. Consolidating human resource functions into Department of Administrative Services. Overtime savings, as we've talked about time and time again. Purchase process improvements. So managerial and consultant savings. So when you look at the common denominator of most of the things in that group, you see one thing. Consolidations, efficiencies, making government smaller, consolidating items, etc. That's where we should be finding savings. And we all agree with that, whether we are Republicans or Democrats or independents. That's where we asked him to go to make those cuts, which we have made in large part in our budget that was passed. And what he did is exactly what you said. On a Friday, he went in and he decided, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to try and sabotage this budget that I wasn't a big enough part of, and I'm going to cut people, some of the people who need our help the most, kids, municipal aid, firefighters, people that save our lives. And that's what he did. And it's unfortunately not out of character for him, but also unfortunately we have to make a decision, and we've all decided that we should go into session again and try and fix this.
Absolutely.
Have you picked a date as to when you're going to go into session?
No, unfortunately, it's Thanksgiving week. Yeah. But we have set a time to have a leaders meeting next week as soon as we all get back in there to figure out what direction we're going in, when we're going to do it, and how we're going to do it.
So are we going to have one? We were talking the other day. We've got to have one. There's no question. Do you believe we'll have one?
Well, I believe we'll have one. I have certainly spoken to Senator Fasano. I've spoken to the Speaker of the House. I haven't spoken to Senator Looney, but I know that Senator Fasano and the Speaker have, and we all seem to be on the same page with this. But, you know, as you know, we have done all spring and all summer and all fall long when we wanted it. We had our budget, and we wanted it voted on. We will push forward until we get what we need to do to protect the people of the state of Connecticut. Because that's what we're doing here, right? We're protecting the people of the state of Connecticut. It doesn't matter what letter is after your name. That's our job. And when you know you have other options, and the other options to make cuts are actually things that people want, consolidation and downsizing of government, how do you not go in that direction?
That's right.
Now, when you Absolutely. Say leaders meeting, that's going to be a leaders meeting including the Democratic leadership next week?
Legislative leaders on both sides, yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's very important. What have you heard from the other side of the aisle as far as these cuts to municipalities? Anything?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I've spoken to the Speaker of the House. I know Senator Fasano has spoken to President Looney, and we all are on the same page as far as sitting down and figuring out how we're going to switch out these cuts. I mean, when you're talking about cutting and punishing municipalities, towns, when you're talking about cutting fire training schools, which we've felt very strongly about, it's something I've been very involved in for many years, we all agree those are not the way to go. Now, if those were the only options in the entire state, that's one thing. Because we all agree we have to make cuts, we all agree we have to downsize, but there's a whole area wherein we can go, that I just mentioned, that were put in writing and given to the governor's office when this budget was done. I mean, there is no other, and I hate, it bothers me to say this, guys, but there is no other way for us to look at this except the governor is trying to sabotage a budget that he was not a big part of. And I need to remind all your listeners of this. From February until August, we met the legislative leaders on both sides of the aisle with the governor on a regular basis, sometimes more, sometimes less, but a regular basis. He said to us point blank, I am here to help. I will meet with you as much as you want to meet. I will meet with you individually if you think that's helpful. And if you think it is helpful to meet on your own and to work on your own, I am supportive of that. Then we did it, and he got upset about it. And I'm sorry for that, but this is about moving the state of Connecticut forward, having a vision, giving people hope that we're sitting there trying to fix what's wrong with it. And as I said to you before, this budget not only made significant structural changes we have been asking for and working on for decades, but it stopped every tax increase the Democrats tried and the governor tried to put forward. And now, because he wasn't part of it, he's trying to sabotage it, and that's no way to lead.
Now, the question is that people are going to be asking, and already are, when you sit down, when you go over all of this, and it looks like you all are in favor of what you just said, this is what the people want, can it happen? Can he stop that?
Well, if you guys remember, when we passed the second bipartisan budget, that budget was negotiated very specifically to get a veto-proof majority amount of numbers in the House and the Senate. And we got both of those with room to spare in the House and the Senate. So if we go back in to do this and we all agree on it, then we will have enough votes to override a veto, because the process is the same as a bill or a budget. If we pass something and the governor has the option of vetoing it, and then we could go back in and override it. The same process occurs with this type of thing. So we would have enough votes to override it if we all agreed on how to move forward in the legislature.
Okay, Representative, just hold on a second. I know we have a traffic update, and then we're going to get back with House Minority Leader Themis Claridis, Brad.
Okay, my friends, it's 18 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock, and with that traffic update, here she is, the one and only Cindy Waitman. Cindy, how's it look at this hour?
Well, Brad, we've got tie-ups on 84 through Waterbury, the eastbound side, especially busy, and then farther east from Park Road into Sisson Avenue. Bumper-to-bumper traffic. Westbound 84 is packed past the Bulkley Bridge. Route 44 at Mohican Drive just east of West Hartford Center with an accident in West Hartford. Also on 44 at 183 in Winsted, there is a car versus a bus. 91 northbound off-ramp to Trumbull Street with a crash. Walcott Street accident investigation continuing at Dallas Avenue. East Main Street to Meriden Road is your best bet as an alternate. It's going to stay closed throughout the morning commute. And 22 near Auger Road in North Brantford High School, another accident was cleared away. This report is brought to you by Connecticut Toyota Dealers. Take the road less traveled with Toyota's entire lineup of available all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive vehicles, whichever you choose. Adventure is included. Toyota, let's go places. I'm Cindy Waitman, back at 834 with your last traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
Lenses Only Optical is changing the way people buy glasses. Call Lenses Only at 860-769-2020 and tell them you want to use their Direct Express service. They'll send you a postage paid box, mail it back with your old glasses and your new prescription, and in a few days, you'll have a brand new pair of prescription lenses in your favorite frames. Locations, Bloomfield, Hartford, or Meriden. Lenses Only, where lenses are always on sale.
This is Connecticut's Home for Talk.
Start your commute with Brad Davis
and drive home with Michael Savage.
The Talk of Connecticut. The Brad and Dan Show, the Talk of Connecticut.
20 minutes after 8 o'clock, our special guest, Connecticut House Minority Leader Themis Claridis, all about this controversy, and it is huge. I can't believe that he would do something like this, but then I guess today, Dan, you got to You got to expect anything and everything.
I can, and back with House Minority Leader Themis Claridis. Now, yesterday, Representative, we had Senate Republican President Len Fasano on the program. He's accusing Governor Malloy of purposely inflating the projected budget deficit so that, once again, he can get himself back into the budget-making process. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Well, let's say this. When we talk about budget deficits, whether and in the years we had surpluses, there's two groups that decide, three groups actually, that decide how what that number is. One is that group, the Office of Fiscal Analysis, which is our nonpartisan budget group in the building. The other is the Office of Policy and Management, which is the governor's office budget group. And then the third is a state comptroller, Comptroller Lembo. And as historically happens, the governor's office says, and with what has happened in the past 7 years, the governor's office says the deficit is lower than we all think it is, because that helps him, right, in
right.
making a decision on budgeting. The Office of Fiscal Analysis says it's higher, and then the comptroller typically goes with the governor, but he makes his own decision. This time, for the first time, I believe, since the Governor Malloy has been in office, the governor's office is saying the deficit is higher. And we believe, and that's the follow-up to Senator Fasano's comments, we believe that he did that to say, see, you didn't have me in the room. You have a bigger problem than you thought you did. You didn't know what you were doing. It's because I wasn't there. So we're believing that the number may be, and then I'm not going to tell you what he did or didn't do, because I'm not in his mind. But we believe that number is higher than it should be. And it's because he wants to try and say, see what happens when you don't include me?
Wow.
It's ridiculous.
It is.
Now, I've got to tell you this, because Senator Fasano was on the program saying that the governor included items in the budget that they had already covered or would only cover if the attorney general got involved, and that was the Juan F. case and also the Roland Union settlement case. And I have to tell you, I contacted the attorney general's office yesterday, and they told me they have not been in recent contact with the governor's budget office on either Juan F. or on anything to do with the budget, the Roland Union settlement, nothing of the sort. So that would seem to lend credence to what Senator Fasano was saying, Representative.
Right. It appears as if there's monkey business going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our point. And
well, how can we find out?
Well, here's what we need to wait for. The first of the month, the comptroller comes out with his monthly report, and we will see where his number jives, if it is a number that is closer to the governor's number, right?
Right.
Or if it's a number that's closer to the Office of Fiscal Analysis. And at that point, I mean, his number, the comptroller's number, is really the number that governs at the end of the day.
Right.
And we will see, which I'm very interested in seeing, what number comptroller's number is closer to.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, we're going to continue to do research in regards to the 1F dollar amount and the Roland lawsuit dollar amount to see what we can, where we can go with that. But clearly, you called the AG's office and you saw that there was no contact. So the whole thing just seems fishy, and that's why we concluded what we've concluded. But here's the reality, guys. The Democrats have had complete control of the state for 7 years. And they want to go out there and talk about anything else except the problem they've gotten us into.
Well, they did it yesterday, as I'm sure you know. The Senate Democratic leaders held a news conference trying to peg the state Republicans to where they stand mm-hmm. on Donald Trump. So I'm sure you've got reaction to that.
Of course.
That's a natural. Take Trump on. Everybody does that.
As I said, they've had complete control of the governor's office and majorities in the House and Senate for the past 7 years. They've had complete control of the House and Senate for 38 of the past 40 years. And they want to tell anybody how not to practice tax reform, the two highest tax increases, deficit after deficit. If that's not hypocritical, I don't know what is. And when you look at it this way, those two largest tax hikes in history, and we were this close to increasing sales tax, income tax, a tax on second home, a tax on your cell phone. All of those things are in the Democrat budget this year. We were this close to passing that, but for the Republicans in the House and the Senate. And they're talking about holding Republicans accountable. Here's how I kind of look at it. I said this last election. If you took a Martian from outer space and plopped him down into Connecticut and gave him or her press releases and all press information for a week, he would have no idea. There was a Democrat that was a governor for the past 7 years. He would have no idea the Democrats have been in control 38 of the past 40 years in the House and the Senate. Do you want to know why? Because all they want to talk about is the federal government, because they cannot accept blame for what they have done in this state. They cannot answer to their horrible governor that has done bad things in this state, the second most unpopular governor in the country. They can't answer to it because they know their hands are all over it. Their fingerprints are on that murder weapon, so they talk about the president. Listen, you want to talk about the president? That's wonderful. President's an important job. Whether it was Donald Trump, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, they all have serious flaws. I agree with some of the things they've done. I disagree with some of the things they've done, and I've been very vocal about both of them. But the answer is, we represent the state of Connecticut, whether you are the governor, the House, or the Senate. They better figure out fast how to answer to that. They can't. They talk about something that has nothing to do with Connecticut.
One quick question, just before you leave. Would you run for governor?
I'm still considering it.
Guys. How long is it going to take you to consider?
Well, I better figure it out fast, I think.
That's a great answer. Yes, you better.
Well, do you have a self-imposed deadline?
No, I'm not good with that.
So you're still thinking about it then?
I am.
Okay.
Listen, all I want to know is how I can best serve the state of Connecticut, because we're in deep trouble, and this budget that was passed made significant changes to the state and showed what a Republican vision of Connecticut is, and Republican leadership in Connecticut will bring us, which I am so proud of. But I just want to know how I can best serve the state in the House or anywhere else, and that's what I need to really come to terms with.
Well, they all say the House is the blood and guts of government.
Well, that's for sure it is, and I've been doing it for many years. I've been in the trenches for many years, whether it's working on budget, fighting for the people of the state of Connecticut, and no matter whether I run or somebody else runs, there's going to have to be somebody who's going to put their blood and guts on the ground and really fight for the people of this state, because we haven't had that in a long time.
Representative, always a pleasure. Thanks very much for joining us. And again, a happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
And you too.
Thank you.
You bet.
Take care.
Well, now maybe in the campaign we'll have a new term, blood and guts.
Well,
I like it.
And Brad Davis started it.